Let's take it all the way back to 1970. Now, it didn't really start necessarily in Philadelphia. That wasn't the inception of the idea, but Philly played a big role.
Oh, huge. Yeah, so the Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson had the idea of taking the Vietnam War teach-in and transferring it to environmental issues. So he called for April 22nd to be a national teach-in on the environment. It quickly became translated into Earth Day.
And as you cited Vietnam, those were very politicized times, civil rights, war.
Correct. And so was Earth Day. It was very political. So a bunch of students at Penn grabbed onto it. Most of them were students of Ian McHarg, who, famous landscape architect, the father of ecological design, had just put a book out on that topic, the first one ever. So a bunch of his students began planning activities, and it was so ambitious that they decided, okay, we're going to do Earth Week. So they actually did Wednesday, April 22nd was a big day, 50,000 people on Belmont Plateau. The day before, 20,000 were in Independence Mall signing a Declaration of Interdependence. So 1 billion people are going to mark Earth Day. The UN is expecting something like 155 countries to sign the climate change treaty out of the 200 who said they would support it. So that's a big thing happening this week.
Though we can cite examples of successes toward that end, is it your assessment that overall we as people are kinder and more understanding and smarter stewards of the planet, or no?
It's mixed. In 1970, there was such momentum behind environmental issues, the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, Endangered Species Act. The EPA was created then. The National Environmental Policy Act was also created, which doesn't sound like anything to anybody until you know that that's authorizing impact statements, environmental impact statements, which had a huge effect in the field. So climate change was not on anybody's horizon at the time in 1970. So there are bigger global issues that are happening now. Climate change is one of the most prominent. Co-equal is the loss of the planet's biological diversity, that we're losing species, you know, by the minute. The issues have changed, but there's many noticeable advances were made in 1970s Earth Day, 1990s Earth Day, and hopefully in 2016s too.
Though, as you cited, back in 1970, the politics of the time bled into this observation as well.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2016, politics and those who doubt or are suspicious of man's role in climate and environment change.
Well, there's fewer and fewer of those people left. Unfortunately, they're vocal. You know, for me, one difference is in 1970, there was such a parade of enthusiasm for environmental concerns that Richard Nixon had to get ahead of the parade. That Richard Nixon becomes the most environmental president of all time is sort of outside of what you would expect. So now fast forward here, you know, there already is a parade for climate change, but our leaders can't get in front of it, which is really interesting because of the vocal few who are sort of keeping us from doing anything about it. And I think there's also not a lot of agreement as to what all the solutions are, but nonetheless, a lot of things are happening anyway. Coal companies are going bankrupt, go figure, while alternative energy companies are coming on strong and only going to be growing. So you see a shift in the economy to reflect the ecology, which makes sense. The question is, can we shift fast enough?
The shifting economy can also cause bumps of the negative kind. When we were mired in the depths of recession in 2008, often environmental concerns and the attendant costs go by the wayside.
Always. And that's been the 40, 50-year conversation, ecology versus economy, and ecology loses. And I think, you know, there's a number of voices who say that one helps the other, that both help each other, that we can't have a strong economy built on an environment that's falling apart. That makes no sense. So if the environment is the foundation for economy, then we have to have a strong foundation. So that conversation has happened so often in the last 50 years, but that we're still having it is disappointing for a lot of us.
Earth Day 2016. Yeah. What are the celebrations here in the Philadelphia region?
So there's all kinds of things happening across the region, and there's no one big central celebration like Belmont Plateau in 1970, but thousands. What's cool is there's just thousands of small celebrations across the area. So if you look, you know, if you Google Earth Day Philadelphia, you're going to get all kinds of events. So My Nature Center, the Schuylkill Center, we're doing our Nature Palooza Earth Day Festival. It's the fifth annual, and it's our single largest one-day event that we do. So nature walks, live animal shows, environmental art. But every organization of our size, every nature center, lots of parks are doing special things. The Clean Air Council does a big Earth Day run annually as well. So there's just literally thousands of events.
I think it was 1990, the bestseller, 50 Simple Things You Can Do to Save the Earth.
Yeah.
Would it be the same 50 things now, or has that priority list changed, fast forwarding to 2016?
I always disagree that most of that list was simple at all. But, you know, I'm not a simple things list kind of guy. It's not my thing, although I did enjoy that it was the best-selling environmental book of all time at that time. There's a ton of things. Yeah, I think that with climate change and biological diversity sort of emerging as co-equal number one issues, with water not far behind as the number three global issue, and it's exacerbated greatly by climate change, as water issues worsen in some parts of the world, both from lack of and too much of. So anyway, I think that the book would by necessity have to change. Reducing your carbon footprint goes way up to the top of the list now of things to do.
You can well-intentioned drive a Prius and bring your recycling to the curb, but then if you hop on one plane ride or take one cruise, you've squandered it for years.
Yeah, but there are websites you can do to mitigate that too. You can sort of plant trees somewhere to mitigate the carbon loss from the carbon increase from your plane flight. That didn't exist. And again, the question is, can the pace of what's happening keep up with the pace of what's worsening?
You cited water. And even that is not a simple thing one can do because there's such a proliferation of bottled water sales, but the cost it takes to get that water into that bottle, then transported to one's home or place of work.
So, yeah, bottled water is not as environmentally friendly as one wishes. You got where the water comes from, and then the other half of it is recycling. The plastic is actually troublesome.
And the energy used in the manufacturing
correct.
Of that product and then
correct.
Transporting it.
Correct. Yeah, 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 yeah.
50 things, 100 things, I'm going to put you on the spot. What are two or three or five great, relatively easy things that families can consider?
Families, go outside. That's number one. Go outside. This is a phenomenal time of year. Immerse yourself in green. And if you're a parent with kids, there are unbelievable upsides to kids spending time in nature. They are calmer. They are smarter. When kids learn outside, they actually retain it better. They play differently when they're doing free play in a forest as opposed to on a court.
Let alone a video screen.
Get them off the video screen and get them outside. So going outside is probably the easiest thing you can do at this point. And, you know, introducing yourself to the world's biological diversity, to the neighbors that share this planet with you. And then the second thing is to think of anything you can do that saves energy in any way you can do it, even recycling. If you can pull in your carbon footprint even just a little, that's huge.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.